a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 12th of November 2018. I'm Neil De Silva and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. On today's show, we're going to be speaking about hidden sugars in our food, what we need to do, what we need to look out for, and how they affect the body. We're also going to be talking about fatty liver disease towards the end of the show and the causes of fatty liver disease and the dangers associated with that condition. And we also have a guest interview. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be interviewing Kerry O'Sullivan. She's on the show this morning as our special guest. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here, Neil.
And we're going to be finding out more about what Kerry does and how she got into doing what she's doing at around 20 past 11. So before we start, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you can improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 first. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my experience, my research, and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or the application of the show. So, hidden sugars, they are everywhere and they are in most processed foods. Unless you have a really, really healthy diet, which comprises of whole foods, then the likelihood is you're probably eating more sugar than you actually realise. So added sugars shouldn't consist of more than about 30 grams a day in our daily diet. But as I say, most people eat a huge amount of processed foods where maybe they're not adding food to what they've already what they're about to eat, but it's already put in there in that food by the food manufacturers for them. And they do this because sugar, as we well know now, is incredibly addictive. But sugar, or certainly refined sugars, have no nutritional value. We don't need it as a source of energy. It gives us completely unnecessary calories, and actually it can cause some pretty serious health issues, particularly long term. So if you eat a lot of processed foods, one of the key takeaways is to actually look at the food labels, look at what you're eating, learn to read the food labels, learn to look out for things like obviously sugar, if it's a main ingredient, but other forms of sugar include things like dextrose, fructose, glucose, honey, maple syrup, agave syrup, maltose, molasses, corn sugar. There's lots of different types of names that sugar goes under. And some of the really dangerous ones is particularly high fructose corn syrup. And I will cover the reasons why that is quite dangerous on a future show. But trust me, if it's got high fructose corn syrup or high fructose glucose syrup on the label, you should avoid it. And also fructose. Now, we've covered fructose in previous shows. Fructose is the sugar that comes naturally in fruit. And actually, when it's packaged with fruit, it's not bad for you at all because there's lots of nutrient value in fruit and there's fibre as well. The problem comes where we consume fruit and then we consume foods that have fructose added to them as well. And we end up with a fructose overload. And incidentally, fructose overload is linked to fatty liver disease, which we are going to cover later on in the show. And then that can lead on to things like type 2 diabetes. So different types of sugars, different names of sugars, but fructose and high fructose corn syrup or high fructose glucose syrup should be avoided at all costs. So as I say, people don't consume or they don't intentionally necessarily consume huge amounts of added sugar, i.e. sugar they add themselves, but it's already in the food that they're eating. And unless you've got a diet that consists of whole foods, lean proteins, healthy fats, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, those sorts of things, or you're really diligent about reading food labels, then the likelihood is that there is sugar sneaking its way into your diet without you knowing. So why do they do this? As I mentioned, sugar is very addictive, along with fat, salt, and obviously sugar. Those are the three main constituents that make us crave more. So we crave fatty foods, we crave sugary foods, and we crave savoury foods. And also these three ingredients are added to processed foods to make them more palatable and to help manipulate your taste buds to make you crave more. Sugar is the major factor in the rising obesity epidemic that we face today. For about 40 years, fat was vilified, and we ended up with these low-fat, no-fat diets and these low-fat, no-fat products. And sugar kind of went under the radar. We were encouraged to eat high-carb diets, high-sugar diets, because fat was the problem. And there's actually no link between the fat that we become and the fat that we eat. It's sugar that is the problem. And scientists in the food industry have perfected the ratio of fat, salt and sugar to make us get hooked on their products. So, you know, we would never consider perhaps ourselves to be a drug addict or, you know, maybe an alcohol addict, but actually you can get hooked on salt, fat and sugar, and they are incredibly damaging to the body. So when we look at sugars, it's important to actually realise the difference between sugar and carbohydrates. So there's carbohydrates in things like spinach and broccoli and cabbage and those sorts of healthy foods. And there's carbohydrates in chocolate bars and in refined sugars. So there are good carbohydrates and they are bad sugars. Now, all carbohydrates, all sugars break down into glucose in the body. And that's the form of sugar that the body uses for energy. So whether it's some bread or pasta or processed food or starchy vegetables, they all break down into glucose. And the carbohydrates that are in spinach, for example, will also break down into glucose. But it's the speed at this happens that becomes a problem. If you eat very refined sugary-based foods, that process happens really quickly. You have a spike in blood sugar, you have an insulin reaction, and as I've covered on previous shows, insulin is the fat storage hormone, and prolonged insulin spikes can be the precursor to type 2 diabetes. So when we talk about carbohydrates, lots of people go on low carb diets. I, for my personal opinion, I'm not a great fan of low carb diets. I think a balance between carbs, fats and proteins is always important. But carbohydrates, in my opinion, shouldn't be avoided, but they should be the right carbohydrates in the right amount. So, as I say, you get carbs in whole fruits, you get carbs in vegetables, but in those particular foods, you also get water, you get vitamins and minerals, and it's the carbohydrates that hold it together. And actually, the carb content is not really that high, but it's the fiber as well that helps the body to digest those carbohydrates, those sugars, a lot slower than with refined sugars. And also, the nutrients in green leafy vegetables and also dark fruits can help to stabilise blood sugars, and they can actually help prevent things like type 2 diabetes. And beans and grains, whole grains, they can help as well. So let's look at food labels for a moment. When you're looking at the nutrition labels, then look at the sugar, the amount of sugar. If it's 5 grams or less per 100 grams, that's classed as being low sugar. And if it's 22.5 grams or more per 100 grams, that's classed as being high sugar. My view is you should always go for low sugar, so less than 5 grams per 100 grams. But do learn to read food labels. If sugar comes up in the first 5 or 6 ingredients, you know it's a really big player in what you're about to eat. I would personally avoid it. Not just sugar, but any of those other forms that I mentioned a bit earlier on. And if a food has more than 10 to 12 ingredients, it's generally classed as being processed. And the more processed foods are, the more ingredients, the more perhaps less healthy ingredients are added into that particular food, you might want to consider twice about eating it or drinking it. So let's go through a few common foods and drinks where sugar becomes a problem. So number one is coffees and teas. Now, if you're drinking plain coffee or plain tea, even with a little bit of milk, that's not necessarily unhealthy. And actually, in moderation, they do contain antioxidants. And they do. There is research that suggests that a moderate amount of tea and coffee can be quite healthy for you. But the problem is when we go to coffee shops and we have lattes and cappuccinos, some of them contain up to 25 teaspoons of sugar. There was one that came out before Christmas last year that had 100 grams of added sugar in it. And then people add sugar to it as well because it's not sweet enough. It's absolute bonkers. When you think there's only 35 grams in a can of fizzy drink, I won't mention a brand, but then you're drinking a coffee or a cappuccino or a latte or a special, you know, seasonal drink that's got 100 grams in, it's absolute bonkers. So if you do like going to coffee shops, to either, you know, chill out or to have a business meeting, then maybe consider having just a plain tea or a plain coffee. Granola is marketed as being a healthy breakfast option, but actually some granola brands have got twice the amount of sugar of, shall we say, cereals that are aimed towards children. And it's normally given a healthy facade because, yes, it's made with whole nuts and seeds and other things that are purported to be good for you. But it's also got lots of added sugar to it. It's got lots of artificial ingredients and it's got dried fruit as well. And dried fruit is not particularly good for you. So granola, have granola as a treat now and again. Does tend to be high in sugar and also quite high in calories as well. Protein and energy bars. Now, I covered these last week on last week's show. They do contain a bit of protein. They might contain some vitamins and minerals, but they also generally contain things like white flour, high fructose corn syrup. Some contain brown sugar, molasses, honey. Some contain sweeteners, which kind of negates the health benefits of the protein and the vitamins and minerals. And actually, some protein bars contain more sugar than the average chocolate bar. So again, read the food labels and maybe either skip them or switch to a healthier option. Sports drinks, really high in sugar. So these drinks, unless you're going to, you know, you're going to drink one before a workout, generally speaking, these sports drinks tend to be very, very high in sugar. So don't drink them, you know, socially. And also fresh juice. Now, fresh fruit juice is basically fruit without all the nutrients and the fiber. So it makes it a glass full of sugar. Now, if you're lucky, there are some preserved active nutrients in them. But actually, it just generally becomes coloured sugar water. So I would tend to avoid fruit juices, even freshly squeezed fruit juices. Low-fat snacks, if they take fat out, they tend to put sugar in. So fat-free desserts, low-fat biscuits, calorie-counted ready meals, where they take the fat out because we think that's healthy, then they will tend to put sugar in to give it taste and texture. Sauces and condiments. Now, a bottle of ketchup or brown sauce or barbecue sauce or vinaigrette dressing, they are really, really high in sugar. And in fact, when you look at ketchup, tomato ketchup, about a quarter of the composition of tomato ketchup is actually sugar. And 2 tablespoons of standard vinaigrette can contain a teaspoon of sugar. And 2 tablespoons of barbecue sauce can contain 2.5 teaspoons of sugar. So actually, these condiments, again, look at the food labels. They can be really high in sugar. And lastly, alcohol. Now, the calories that come from alcohol come from sugar. Okay, so pure alcohol can contain anywhere between 1 to 13 grams of sugar per serving. So a serving of creme de menthe can contain anything up to 6 teaspoons of sugar. A daiquiri, between 1 and 2 teaspoons of sugar. And even a pina colada can have anything up to 6 or 7 teaspoons of sugar. And the problem is alcohol also interrupts fat digestion and fat metabolism. So if you drink a lot of alcohol, not only are you getting a double hit, you're getting the hit from the sugar, which is going to cause a problem with your pancreas, your insulin, and also with the chance of getting type 2 diabetes, but also it's going to stop your body metabolizing and digesting fat, which can interrupt weight loss if you're trying to lose weight. So if you want to improve your health, improve your body composition, get lean, then do look at your sugar consumption. The more you fill your diet with single ingredient whole foods, the less of a concern sugar becomes, because it doesn't have sugar added to it. The easiest fix is to reduce packaged and processed food consumption, read food labels, cut down on alcohol as well. And you'll be amazed how these small changes can make a big change to your health. And also, if you're trying to lose weight, it can speed up weight loss as well. So after the break, we're going to be going on to our guest interview with Kerry. Before that, we have a song by Iggy Pop, and it's Lust for Life. That was Iggy Pop and Lust for Life. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. If you'd like to get in contact with the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. If you'd like to like the show's Facebook page, go to Facebook and search the Health Matters Radio Show. You can find the show's page there. You can also listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And also, if you go to iTunes, you can listen to the show's iTunes podcast. Again, search the Health Matters Radio Show. So on to our guest interview of the morning. Today we have Kerry O'Sullivan on the show, and Kerry's going to be talking about more about her background, her experience, her journey, and also about what she's currently doing at the moment. So good morning, Kerry. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So we're going to find out more about what you do. So let's start at the beginning. What's your background? What's been your journey up to where you are today?
I suppose the most significant part of it has been the last 2 years. So 2 years ago, I left my job in media, and I left it without a job to go to, just knowing that I was destined for more, really. And everyone thought I was having a midlife crisis.
Okay.
And I basically left to do more about, you know, the stuff that lights me up, to make a difference every day. And so I started doing my holistic therapies, what I've been trained in for years, and then really quickly realised that that wasn't really what I wanted to do all the time. Mm-hmm. So I started meditating, and lots of crazy stuff was coming through when I actually silenced my mind, because I was living life on the hamster wheel all the time.
I think like many people.
Yeah. Mm. So when I stopped, I was like, whoa, where's all this stuff coming from? And I had loads of really crazy thoughts coming up, and I had to really work through those. And as a result of that, I went on a huge self-development journey. And it started with the energy alignment method. I trained in that. And then I've gone on to train in Tantra. And as a result of all those things, I remembered a lot from my past that has had a big impact on my life, because I stopped, basically.
Yeah.
And a lot of things, I realised deep, deep down that the reason I kept myself so busy all the time was because I didn't actually really love myself. Not really.
Yeah.
And by slowing myself down, I got to know a new side of me and actually learned to love the person that I found in the end. So what
sorts of things happened in your past, in perhaps your younger years?
Yeah, I mean, I experienced quite a lot of trauma in my past, sexual trauma. But the most profound part about it is I didn't actually remember it until last year. So for my whole life, I've kept busy. And it was only when I stopped that things started to come up, memories. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought I was just having crazy dreams, and I didn't really realise it was actually me.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I've realised that how much of an impact that has had on my life, to have gone through the things that I did. And that was the reason why I had deep, deep down, quite low self-worth. And I think on the outside, people never realised that I felt that way, because I've always been quite confident and quite bubbly.
Mm-hmm.
But once I stripped away all the busyness and was really just back to me, the love wasn't there. And then I realised, well, why wasn't that love there? And it's because of the stuff that I'd gone through when I was younger that made me feel that way.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, being on the hamster wheel, as you said. Lots of people are busy being busy. I think lots of people don't really connect with themselves because they're so wrapped up in their day-to-day. And that might be their, it might be their social life, it might be their family, it might be their career. But often people define themselves by the job they do or the family they have, and they don't take that time to take a step back and, as you say, step off that hamster wheel, because either they don't realise they're on it,
yeah,
or it's quite scary, the thought of actually stepping back and trying to reconnect with themselves.
I mean, I knew I was on it, to be honest, because I used to help everyone else. I used to be like, I love helping everyone else. I love doing everything for everyone. And I kept myself so busy by doing triathlons, marathons, raising loads of money for people.
And the Three Peaks Challenge as well.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah. But when some
respect.
When a coach actually said to me, well, if you took all that away, Kerry, how do you feel about you? And I thought, well, but I am the person that does everything for everyone else. But it was actually, I didn't even know really who I was. And once all of that was gone.
Yeah. And again, I think lots of people can relate to that. Again, people that do define themselves by what they do and not who they are.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
And also what they're really thinking and feeling, because that was the big thing for me. When I silenced, I then actually got to think, well, what is it that's going on in my mind? What am I actually thinking and feeling? Because I was always running away from that silence. That silence always felt quite hard for me to have, which is why I never had it in my life, because I used to think I'm going to go crazy if I start actually tapping into what I'm actually thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So are there any you know, perhaps one or two experiences from your past that you'd like to relate? Perhaps people that are listening to can then relate to your background and, you know, where you've come from?
Yeah, I mean, to be at the most raw thing at the moment, I think, that is kind of, I'm working through even now, really, was when I was raped when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Because when it happened to me, I couldn't tell anyone. And there was one part of it that was, I was ashamed that I'd allowed something like that to happen. And the other part of it was that I was in shock that it actually did happen, and I was so low in self-worth that I thought no one would actually ever believe me.
Yeah.
So for me, like, even literally up until yesterday, I was on a course and I was still releasing the trauma from that experience. And and it comes out when it's ready to come out. And even if it doesn't, if it's not come out yet, whatever trauma or whatever anyone's been through in their lives, it will come out at some point.
Mm.
And so for me, that's been a huge part as like lately, and it's only, like I say, it's quite raw for me at the moment. But for me, it's about allowing, every time I speak about it, every time I'm true to what's going on in my world and how I feel, then someone else can step forward and have a voice and be heard. And that is the reason why I speak out about these things. So,
and I think it does empower other people that maybe have gone through a similar experience.
Yeah.
You know, and having someone like you to talk about it really gives them the strength to perhaps deal with the issues that they're facing. So do you find that it's better that people who are carrying trauma consciously make the decision to deal with it rather than let it come out later on in their life?
Do you know what? The thing that's hard for me is that I never knew I'd been through trauma until last year. So the people that I help are overwhelmed people, the people that keep themselves so busy. Those people probably not even aware that they've experienced trauma. And it's only when they begin to understand who they are that they realise the things that might have impacted them in their lives. So, yes, I can speak with people that have, you know, and talk to people about trauma, and they can, you know, start speaking about it, which will help them. But maybe they're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the biggest thing. But they're aware that something's not right. They're aware that they're not stepping into their power and that they're keeping themselves so busy that they don't even want to think.
So even listening, you know, perhaps listening to this interview this morning, it might trigger something in someone to go, oh, yeah, there is something there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think with, like, the whole Me Too movement and everything, like, it's beginning to be a movement around people speaking out about what they've been through in their past. And it hasn't got to be horrific stuff. It hasn't got to be the things. It can be something so small that happened to them as a child, you know, even an accident, a car accident, anything. But people, in this day and age, people just want to get up and get on with it. And it's kind of like the mentality that we're used to, just to be strong and keep going.
That's it, yeah, chin up.
And actually, but the suppression of that trauma will come out, and it might come out through illness, a manifestation through illness and things like that. It will manifest itself somewhere. You know.
Okay, interesting. So let's fast forward to where we are today. Tell me more about what you're doing at the moment, more about your practice and the services that you currently offer.
So I'm a energy coach and a tantric practitioner. Mm-hmm. So I work with people in the mind, like with the mind and the body, to clear anything that's holding them back. So the energy alignment method is a 5-step process where we work with your thoughts and your beliefs and clear anything that's resistance and anything that's not serving you, basically.
Okay.
So it's quite different, but it's so powerful. So anything that you are thinking or feeling at any point, you have got the ability to change the way you feel in an instant. So, you know, like when you wake up some mornings and you think, oh, the world is against me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm walking through mud. I feel like everything is going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you take a moment and you can connect to yourself and you can change that day around. And that's what's so amazing about this method and the things that I do, is that you don't have to live in that drama. You don't have to live in that out of flow state. You can get yourself back into being your bubbly self or whatever that self looks like. You don't have to stay in that place.
Okay. So tell me more about this EAM then. I mean, what does What does EAM stand for?
So it's Energy Alignment Method.
Right, okay.
So it's basically about getting yourself into flow. So when you're in flow, that's when the world just looks like a happy place. That's when you're like, everything's like working for me. I feel happy. I feel bubbly. I love life.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that we do, as everything I do with my energy work is about getting people to live that life every day. And it's not necessarily meaning being happy. It's about being authentically you. And I use this thing called I'm authentically beautiful, because if you're authentic, that could be sadness. You could actually be feeling sadness, but it's fine to say that. Yeah. It's fine to be that person.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, what is it that's not serving you in your life? And whatever that is, you can get rid of. But that does mean you have to connect to you. You have to take that time each day to understand what is it that I'm feeling today, as opposed to just getting on with the day and knowing there's something wrong but not actually recognising it.
Yeah, I guess it's about being consciously conscious, isn't it?
Mm.
And I think, is it consciously conscious, consciously unconscious and unconsciously unconscious, I think.
Yeah.
So I seem to remember. And most people aren't aware that they're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps carrying this trauma, carrying this burden, not being connected to themselves.
But an exercise that I give to my clients a lot is just to take 5 minutes twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Set your clock for 5 minutes, close your eyes and just be. What comes up? And a lot of people are like, what? You're joking. 5 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, just 5 minutes, just to silence the mind and just see what comes up.
A bit
up.
Of quiet time.
Yeah. But how much of that do we have this day? You know, we've got our phones, we've got everything. We're so connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people can make excuses about not having time. And actually, if you can't spare 5 minutes a couple of times a day, then I'd argue that your own health is not important to you.
Yeah.
You know, I try and get people to exercise for 5 minutes a day and they make all sorts of excuses why they can't do it. And it's like, well, you can make lots of excuses or you can get it done. And if you can't spare 5 minutes, you don't see the importance of it.
Yeah, but when you get used to that silence, when you get used to that time just to process and just to be with yourself, it becomes a practice and it becomes part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're really able then to work with yourself and understand yourself more and get to know the real you. You know.
And so the EAM process has helped you, obviously, with some of the issues that you've had in the past and the trauma that you faced.
Yeah, it uncovered it and it helped me process it and it really, really did help me. And then as a result of that, I got recommended to go and see a tantric practitioner. And that's mm-hmm. then when the tantra kind of came into it, because it is, you know, everyone understands tantra as being sort of tantric sex.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there is tantric sex and it's amazing. And, but there's also a kind of healing, serious side to tantra as well. And tantra for me is all about connection. It's mm-hmm. all about connecting to your body and understanding your body, but also knowing what you want in any given moment
mm-hmm.
and understanding that. So with tantra, the way I've used tantra to heal my body, and like I say, even yesterday I was using it, is by being touched in a sensual, beautiful way and being honoured, you'll be surprised how much you can release from your body, how much your body has held on to for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is just amazing, to watch someone release things from their body and just to be touched in a way where they're not having to give anything back. They're able to completely receive love. Because for me, the biggest part of my journey is actually being able to open my heart and to receive, because I've always given, but I've always found it hard to receive.
Yeah.
And so for me, tantra is around consciously receiving, deeply receiving or giving, but being in one or the other. So you're either completely giving to someone or mm-hmm. you're completely receiving. You're not kind of switching between them and not really knowing where you are, you know.
Wow. So tantra and EAM are two separate things, but they work in conjunction with each other?
Yeah. So at the moment, I kind of use them because for me, the EAM is more about the mind for me
mm-hmm.
and how I work with people, and the tantra is more about the body level. So between them, I work with them both. So when I'm in a session, in a tantric session, I may tap into some EAM work to try and release some resistance in a certain area of the body
mm-hmm.
to help that person release that. So I do them separate sessions, but they do kind of interlink at different times. And I use a lot of tantric practices within my energy work as well, just to try and get people to kind of release their body, you know.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, so in what ways does the services that you offer help people? I mean, obviously, we've spoken about what tantra is and what EAM is, but how do they actually help individuals and couples?
It helps set people free. It helps them feel their bodies and feel that kind of inner radiance within them.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps them really connect to who they really are and to really feel it, really, really feel it. And when I work with couples, it helps them to understand what each other needs and also to be able to really kind of connect to each other in a way that they may have never experienced. But for me, it's really about the freedom and about the transformation of letting go of the past, letting go of the armor that they've got around them that, mm-hmm. you know, that's about who they're meant to be. It's about, no, I'm just going to be truly me, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to recognize who it is, who am I, and learn to love that person who they find as well.
Brilliant. So tell me more about the VIP days that you offer.
Yeah, so that's when people come to me. They come to me for like 4 or 5 hours and we really have a deep dive. You okay. know, at the beginning of the session, they write out all the things that's going on in their mind. And some people are there for like, they're like, do I really have to write all this stuff down? And they write it all down. And we work on majority of it.
I can imagine if you've got a married couple, that could be a little bit awkward.
Yeah. I tend to do them individually, not as a couple. But you get to really kind of understand what's going on in your mind. It's like a big mind blur. Mm. And then we work through them and we work through it. But sometimes we end up not just dealing with the stuff in this life. And that's where it gets a bit woo-woo. Sometimes it's stuff that goes back generations. Mm. Sometimes you're holding on to stuff that your mum and dad might have experience, but that's kind of carrying on in your DNA. So I don't want to go down that road because I might confuse the listeners, but basically we get to really go deep and we get to clear a lot, and the people walk out feeling like different people. They feel lighter, they feel free, they feel more themselves again, and they've got the tools then to go on and do that for the rest of their lives and use it every day.
Being consciously conscious.
Yeah.
And so tell me more about the 8-week program that you've got launching in January.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to be doing that because I'm doing a group program, and it's all going to be around kind of connecting to yourself, but also just understanding what I mean by energy work and really understanding what energy is, and then connecting to your mind about, you know, do you love yourself? What is it that you love about yourself? Who are you under all of that? What is it that lights you up? What is it that makes you get out of bed each day? And learning to connect to that. And then we work through different things around awakening the body, the power of touch. You know, do you touch yourself? Do you pleasure yourself? And if not, why not? Do you look at yourself in the mirror? And I teach people how to kind of connect to their bodies across that 8 weeks, and also how to kind of connect to others, how to give sensual massages to their loved ones and things like that. So it's going to be really nice and juicy and make people kind of, they'll go through some sort of ups and downs across that week, but they'll have me there for support, and it's going to be really nice.
So yeah. What other plans have you got for next year?
I just want to get out there. I just want to talk, actually. Mm. I want to talk about my story. I want to inspire the masses. You know, I've got great visions to like be on the stage on the O2 one day. So I need to get myself out there and share my story.
Big, hairy, scary goals.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to empower the world. I want to change the world. And I want to make a difference. And that's what I'm going to carry on doing.
And working, doing your workshops, maybe looking at collaborations, that
definitely,
sort of thing.
Definitely, totally open to collaborations. And I just want to kind of lift a taboo on Tantra. Mm-hmm. I want to show people what Tantra is all about, and just start getting it out there, really, into the public domain, as it were. Yeah.
Brilliant. And so if you'd like to go to Kerry's Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Holistic Kerry, you can also look at the reviews that previous clients have left for Kerry as well,
so you can
get some idea of the testimonials. So Kerry, who would be your ideal client?
They're mainly overwhelmed women in business.
Mm-hmm.
Women that don't stop. They don't know how to stop. They don't want to stop because they know when they stop, they don't like that feeling. You know, they're people that have lost that connection to themselves. They don't know what they like or what they love. They feel like they're having problems in their relationships. They don't feel fulfilled in terms of any part of their life. They're always searching for that next best thing.
Yeah.
They don't feel fulfilled in their sex life. For them, it's becoming just something that they just do. It's not something that they enjoy. They don't feel like they can express what they really want. They don't know what they really want.
Yeah.
You know.
And also couples as well.
Yeah. So, really, the couples, the women are part of that couple, you know, because it's affecting their relationship. So for me, know, the couple work comes to me through the overwhelmed woman.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get to work with them as a couple and then get to cement their relationship and, you know, and connect them in a way, a beautiful way that they've never experienced.
So generally speaking, if you've got an overwhelmed woman that, who's in a relationship, the relationship will be suffering perhaps in some way.
It's likely to be.
Yeah.
And it's mainly probably due to the fact that she's not able to really connect to herself, because it has to start with you first.
Yeah, I agree.
And until you've sorted yourself out, until you've connected to yourself, then you can connect to others more deeply. But it has to start with you.
Okay. So why should people come to you?
Because what I do is so different, I suppose,
and,
as well.
And very authentic as well.
Very authentic. I'm very authentic. And I'm going through this stuff at the same time, and I'm experiencing it. I've been there and I get it and I understand them. And you're going to get to experience a beautiful way of working with me, experience tantra, experience beautiful touch, experience that connection. And once you've found it, you're never going to look back.
Brilliant. So we've already mentioned your Facebook page, which is Holistic Kerry.
Yeah.
So if you search Holistic Kerry on Facebook, you can find Kerry's Facebook page. But what other ways can people get in touch with you to have a chat?
You can always contact me on my website. So holistickerry.co.uk. It's currently, it's going to be updated this week, actually. So, but at the moment, you can still contact me through the website as well. So both ways.
And you have a new Facebook group as well?
Yeah, Awaken the Real You is called. And you can access that through the Holistic Kerry page as well.
Brilliant. And what I'll do as well is I'll put Kerry's contact details up on the show's Facebook page in the next day or so. So if you're interested in getting in contact with Kerry, you can do it directly through her Facebook page, which is Holistic Kerry, or holistickerry.co.uk, or you can find her details on the show's Facebook page. But thank you for coming on the show, Kerry. It's been really genuinely interesting to find out more about what you do, but I'm really grateful you came on this morning.
Thank you. It's been brilliant. Thanks.
So after the break, we're going to have a chat about fatty liver disease, what it is, what it does, and how we can avoid it.
Who can
That was Jamiroquai and Virtual Insanity. Okay, on to fatty liver disease. I haven't got a lot of time, so I'm going to cover this in more detail on the next show. But fatty liver disease is a big problem at the moment. It's strongly linked to obesity. And the fat buildup in our liver is causing us to have a lot of health problems in today's society. So obviously the liver, as many people know, is the body's processing plant. So everything we eat, everything we drink, it deals with it, it processes it, it gets rid of toxins, it filters our blood. The liver performs an incredibly important function in our day-to-day health, and therefore a healthy liver is really important. Now, fatty liver disease happens when too much fat builds up around the liver. Now, there is some fat on the liver. It's about 2.5% by weight. And normally when you get between 5 and 10% fat on the liver, that's classed as fatty liver disease. And it does affect the liver's ability to do its job properly. And long term, if it isn't dealt with, that can lead on to a condition called cirrhosis. And obviously then you're into some pretty serious issues. The thing with fatty liver is it is actually reversible. It's a reversible condition. The liver has an incredible ability to actually heal itself up to a point. The scary thing is that fatty liver has no symptoms. It has no symptoms until you get symptoms. It's a bit like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. They don't really manifest until they manifest. And by the time they do manifest, you're normally in the advanced stages, and that can be a big problem. So if you've got excess fat around the liver, that can cause inflammation. If your liver becomes inflamed, these are some of the symptoms that you might have. So things like a poor appetite, unexplained weight loss, abdominal pain, particularly obviously on that side, physical weakness, fatigue, confusion. Now, these can be linked to other conditions as well. But if you've got a bad diet and you're not very active, then that could be some symptoms that you could be suffering from fatty liver disease. Now, what causes fatty liver? Alcohol is a big factor. Okay, lots of alcoholics, lots of people that are alcohol dependent will have issues with their liver because it's the liver that metabolizes the alcohol. But also there are an increasing number of cases of people that aren't heavy alcohol drinkers getting fatty liver disease. So this is called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and I will cover that in more detail on the next show. So you don't have to be an alcoholic or drink a lot of alcohol to have fatty liver disease. So fatty liver is when the body just can't metabolize fat fast enough. The liver puts fat on itself and in itself and around itself. And that can cause a lot of issues. Now, having a high sugar diet can be a precursor to developing fatty liver disease. And some other factors that can come into it, things like if you're carrying too much weight, so if you're carrying too much body fat, if you're obese, that can be an issue. If you're diabetic, that can be an issue, but also fatty liver can cause diabetes. If you've got a bad diet, that can lead on to fatty liver, as we've just mentioned. Genetics do come into it, and also the side effects of some medications, so things like aspirin and steroids can actually be a factor towards fatty liver disease developing. But in the UK, the level of fatty liver disease is actually mirroring the rates of obesity. And today, I think we have an obesity rate knocking on to about 30% in this country. And fatty liver disease is not far behind. And it's estimated that around 90% of people who are obese will also have fatty liver disease. Now, there's no approved drugs for treatment of fatty liver disease at this time, but surprise, surprise, the big pharmaceutical companies are looking into drug treatment. So rather than recommending lifestyle and dietary interventions, they're spending billions of pounds at the moment trying to develop drugs to fight fatty liver disease. And there are a few new drugs that are on the final phase of clinical trials that will be on the market, I don't doubt, in the next few years. So, you know, it's a classic case of, you know, don't change your lifestyle, don't change your diet, just take some pills to sort the problem out. And my view, as you would expect, is deal with the lifestyle, deal with the diet, don't take the drugs. And, you know, you should be able to sort the problem out yourself. And they estimate that the market for fatty liver disease related drugs is going to be worth around £35 billion a year globally. So it's going to be a huge market for them. but prevention is better than cure. So we will cover fatty liver disease in more detail on next week's show. We're going to cover what it is, how it develops, could you be at risk? We're going to cover the symptoms in more detail as well, and we're going to discuss ways that we can prevent fatty liver disease developing, either through excess alcohol consumption or, as I say, the more insidious version of that, which is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We're going to cover on the next show. So it's time to wrap up. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you've found some interesting facts and information in there that can help you to improve your day-to-day life, whether it relates to sugars or whether it relates to our general diet. It's been great to have Kerry on the show. Thank you again for coming on the show, Kerry.
Thanks for having me. It's been brilliant.
And I'm going to put Kerry's contact details up on the show's Facebook page a bit later on. Again, if you'd like to contact the show, you can do so through Twitter, at Health Radio Show. You can find the show's Facebook page, Health Matters Radio Show. You can contact me direct via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And as I mentioned, you can listen to this show and previous shows on the show's iTunes podcast and also on the media page of my website. If you'd like to come on the show, as Kerry has done today, to promote what you do and talk about your background and your journey and what you're doing at the moment, then please do contact me. And if you have any questions or you'd like to contact me directly, then please do so through my website. So that's enough for this week. Have a great week ahead. Stay happy, stay healthy. And after the next song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. So until next time, have a great week.
The heart is a blue. Take you out of this place.